Welcome back to Morning Talk on the Talk of Mid Utah, KSVC 980 AM and 100.5 FM. Robert Lovell with you alongside Porter Huntsman. Time now for our radio roundup interview for today. And today we're joined again by Nate Selene from the Central Utah Public Health Department. Nate, thanks for coming in.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you on and talk about, I guess, just get an update on where we're at with COVID-19, the coronavirus. Of course, we had you on Friday and talked about, along with Superintendent Kay Douglas from the Sevier School District, talking about, you know, why keep schools open here where other school districts were starting to close. And then, of course, it wasn't too much longer, just a few hours later, the governor saying that they are doing a soft closure for all schools in the state. So kind of walk us through maybe the process, what they told you from the state health department and why they ultimately came to that decision.
Sure. Yeah, we were a little surprised by that a little bit later on Friday. I think where it comes back to is the state and the governor really wants us to be pretty uniform in our recommendations and closures across the state, and really looking at the schools and seeing that those are a potential for spread of COVID-19 when it does come into those individual areas. I think that was the determination, is where we're starting to see that in different areas around the state, particularly seeing some community spread in a couple of different areas. That was the recommendation from the governor's task force to go ahead and do a closure of the schools that would still allow for online learning, and that the teachers would still be allowed to do some level of instruction there. Also being able to allow some of the other facilities at the schools to be functional, like school lunch and things like that, you know, where they could do kind of a pickup type of an option. So really, I think it was obviously it's a preventive measure, and it's in an abundance of caution for our area specifically. You know, we had talked about getting to the point of school closures in our area, and we thought that could be a possibility down the road. However, you know, we were waiting to see, you know, what happened with COVID-19 and how that progressed and when we started to see that in our area. But the governor, you know, made the decision to do that uniformly across the state, and we as a health department support that decision.
And you look at you talk about the cases we're at. You mentioned the kind of the community spread. Salt Lake Valley, Summit County is where you're starting to see some of that right now.
Yeah, we're starting to see it move through the state. Right now there's 13 local health districts in the state. Ours in central Utah here covers six counties, but many of them are single counties, some of them multi-counties, and we are starting to see that in these different health districts, this jumping up. You know, there have been cases in new health districts that we hadn't seen before, and obviously where we had seen it, additional cases that were up to around 30 cases throughout the state and climbing. As part of that, you know, public health officials in those areas are doing contact tracing, where we look at a confirmed case and we figure out the time when they were symptomatic, and we go back and contact anyone that they may have had substantial contact with that could be at risk for COVID-19. And as we go back, we contact them, let them know to watch for symptoms, let them know that if the contact was great enough, they may be under a quarantine order for 14 days and monitoring for symptoms to make sure that they are not developing COVID-19 as part of that.
Now, part of our listening area includes the Southwest Public Health Department, and I think we did get a confirmed case over the weekend. We saw reports that said there was, and then St. George News said there wasn't one in Washington County, so there was kind of some mixed reports, but do you know if there was one in that Southwest area?
I'm not aware of one right now. I haven't heard.
Okay.
One of the confusions I read about was that they were including the case of the person from the cruise ship coming back to the state.
So that Mark Jorgensen, and that could have been it. But let's look at maybe some key things going forward now. And one of the things that Superintendent Douglas brought up last week was that, you know, the kids are still probably going to end up congregating somewhere else if they're not in school and getting together as friends or whatever. And we got to make sure the congregation of people, of groups, still doesn't happen.
Absolutely. And that was one of the things that we had talked about with our local superintendents, is balancing those public health measures against, you know, the social disruption that happens with closing schools, and whether or not when we close those schools, are we keeping people from congregating, because then we completely defeat the purpose of closing those schools. These public health measures are proven effective in slowing the spread or stopping the spread of a virus like this. And the only way they're going to be effective is if we get people to stop congregating in areas. We don't want everybody going to the bowling alley or to the swimming pool or to any of these other places. We need people to not congregate together in groups and go to all of these different places. We've seen that, how that's impacted certain areas. You mentioned Summit County. They put in some closure requirements because of the situation they're having up there with community spread, where they're closing movie theaters and pools and rec centers and libraries. They've put restrictions on restaurants where people cannot gather inside, but they can do curbside service. All of these are measures to make sure that we're able to adequately keep this virus from spreading. You know, and we talk about how this virus, you know, for a lot of cases is going to be mild or moderate as far as the symptoms go. And I've had the question from people to say, well, why don't we just let that come to our area and you know, let's essentially get it over with, kind of. But from public health, you know, we look at those who are most vulnerable, people who are immunocompromised or the elderly, people who are more susceptible to this virus. We can let those things come into our areas, but if we're not taking these actions to keep it from our areas, then we're potentially putting those people at risk, and we're exposing those people who have a much greater risk of overcoming the virus. And so that's why these measures are important. We don't want people traveling. We don't want people, you know, out around the area. We want people to stay in and stay home as much as possible and to essentially kind of quarantine themselves to keep the virus from spreading. We've had a lot of people who've talked about, oh, we're off school, so we're going to go to St. George, or we're going to go to the national parks, we're going to head to Moab, things like that in state. We've got a lot of great outdoor recreation opportunities in the state, and being outdoors is a great thing. But when we go to those areas, we end up congregating in different areas. You go out to the state parks or national parks, that's great. But then you come back in and you're in close quarters with other people at, you know, your hotel or at a restaurant or things like that. And that's what makes that difficult.
Well, I know of some people that just immediately booked cheap flights to Hawaii and went to Hawaii for the week. So,
yep.
Yeah, it just and obviously maybe and they talk about, well, we're just going to try to do things outside. Well, you just flew on a plane with a whole bunch of other people, which real tight quarters there.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's a temptation for people, right? You know, the travel industry is taking a big hit, and the cost of travel is substantially less than it normally would be. And I understand that, you know, and that's a risk some people are willing to take, I guess. But really, we're recommending from the health department that people in our local communities stay in our local communities. Don't travel out to other areas around the state. Stay here as much as you possibly can. Obviously, there's some essential travel that people have to make and things like that, and those things have to be done. But for non-essential travel, we're asking people to please stay home. Quarantine yourself, stay away from people, don't congregate in large groups, don't have lots of other people over. You know, that's the way we're going to control the spread of this.
Now, I know we've had different reports, and you can maybe clear up some of these things on when you're contagious when you have it and how it actually spreads and those kind of things. Tell us when the contagious period is, and then how the spread actually results from one person to another.
Yeah, so the contagious period is when you're symptomatic. It is possible that you could be contagious before you're symptomatic, but all the data that we're looking at now and everything that we've been able to study according to the virus shows that the contagious period starts when you're symptomatic.
Yeah, because we heard like 14 days. Initially, we heard 14 days before you show symptoms, you could be symptomatic, and that's not accurate.
That's not accurate, and that virus could be in that incubation period, and you may have the virus for that time. It could be incubating and developing in your system, but you're actually not shedding that virus and contagious until you're symptomatic. And so that's where we try and focus on. You know, people have been concerned that, you know, if they're around somebody who is later confirmed to have COVID-19, what was their risk of exposure? And we've been telling them, you know, if they weren't contagious when you were around them, then you're okay. If they were contagious and you were around them and had close contact for a sustained period of time, then yes, you're much more at risk, and we're going to monitor that to make sure you don't develop any symptoms. As far as how it spread, it's through droplet spread, similar to the cold and flu. It's not airborne like we see something with measles or something that's much more high risk. It's not airborne just wherever you can pick it up. Typically, the way it would spread is somebody coughs or sneezes or something onto their hand or onto a surface, and then you typically touch that surface, and then you touch your face or you touch some food, and then you eat or whatever it might be, and that virus then gets inside of you, and that's when you start to have those issues. I mean, if you think about that, we don't realize how many times an hour we touch our face, right? Your eyes, your nose, your mouth, your, you know, whatever, and if you're touching things and then you're touching your face, that virus is going to get onto you and easily inside of you. And I think that's where we have to be very aware that we're washing our hands frequently. And it sounds kind of simple, and maybe that seems too simple for some people, that, you know, we're just telling people to wash their hands. But really, that's the most effective way to prevent the spread of this. Wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands, and then do it again. You know, mm-hmm. But really our focus is to make sure that we wash your hands as much as possible to keep that virus from being transmitted from surface to surface, and ultimately from being able to transmit it from a surface to your face. And then be cognizant of how many times you're touching your face. You know, try to not do that. And that's hard. We do it without even thinking. And really that's something we have to just make sure we have that awareness for it. And then the other thing is, you know, making sure you're staying home when you're sick. If you're sick, if you're symptomatic, if your kids are sick or symptomatic, stay home. It's not worth risking exposing other people. You know, if you risk exposing other people, then that only becomes more of a problem. As more people are exposed, they're going to get the virus, and then we're going to have more people who are not able to work, more people who are then potentially infecting other people. And it just, that's how that spreads, and that's how that compounds. So really, you know, washing hands to make sure that that virus, when it's on a surface, which it can live on a surface for, you know, from hours to a matter of a couple of days, depending on the conditions, you know, and so to make sure that those surfaces are cleaned and disinfected, making sure that your hands are cleaned and washed regularly to keep that virus from transmitting is the best thing we can do to prevent spread.
And you mentioned earlier, you know, washing your hands is a big thing that we're talking about a lot. And maybe something you can clarify for people. I've seen it a lot. I'm sure other people have seen it, saying that hand sanitizer is less effective and that we should be more turning to washing our hands. Is that something that is true?
Yeah, you should always wash your hands. That's the most effective way. If you're not able to wash your hands in a situation, you can use hand sanitizer. They recommend one that has 60% or more alcohol base in it. That's a great secondary measure. You know, a lot of places use that, and it's effective to a point, but not as effective as washing your hands. So step one would be wash your hands, or the most important, wash your hands. The next one would be use hand sanitizer if that washing your hands isn't available.
All right. Very good. Once again, Nate Selene with us in the Central Utah Public Health Department. Anything else that you think our listeners need to be aware of and you want to really emphasize today?
Yeah. You know, really just we want people to pay attention to where they're getting their information from. There's a lot on social media, things that are not accurate. And the big point is to go on to reputable sites. The coronavirus.utah.gov site is the most accurate and up-to-date information for our state. And it links to a lot of CDC resources that are accurate and up-to-date as well. That's the best place to find information about the best way to handle things. You can always call one of our health department offices as well. We're happy to discuss it. We want to, you know, make sure anybody that has questions or concerns, we'll help resolve those, give you any guidance or direction as far as we can. But having that information, making informed decisions based on that information is the best thing that we can do. So, you know, limit the travel, stay home. Clean your hands, sanitize surfaces, things like that. Stay home if you're sick. Those are the big things we're trying to push, but get those things from reputable sources.
All right, very good. So great tips, and again, just some cautions there as well of what you do and do not want to do when it comes to this. So again, Nate Selene with us here from the Central Utah Public Health Department, and it looks like we've got maybe just a question from a listener here, and Nate, I'll go ahead and let you read the question. Someone just called in, and you can answer that too.
Yeah, the question is, how is this COVID-19 worse than the flu? And that's a great question. We've had a lot of people question that. And the biggest thing is that the mortality rate of COVID-19 is significantly higher than the flu. Looking at the flu over the last probably 10 years, we see, you know, millions of cases. And we've seen, you know, in the U.S., we'll see, you know, anywhere from 30 to 50,000 deaths in a year. But the rate of mortality rate for that is usually very low, around 0.085% up to 0.1%. Whereas with COVID-19, the death rate right now is sitting at about 3.5%. And now for other certain groups, higher risk groups, that death rate goes even higher. So we're seeing a much higher death rate. It is transmitted similarly. It has a similar contagion as the general flu, but the death rate is much, much higher, and that's where we're more concerned with it. And the biggest reason for that is the lack of immunity to this. This hasn't been seen in our communities, and because of that, we're not seeing these people who have developed an immunity and developed the antibodies to help fight this off, where we have seen that a lot with flu. So that's really the biggest difference with flu there.
And one thing that goes along with that, I think people will read a lot online, is what they call flattening the curve. Essay, would you maybe give us a brief synopsis of what that means when people are reading that?
Yeah, absolutely. So what we've seen historically and with different disease outbreaks around the world at different times is that when we implement public health control measures like the governor has implemented with our limitations to gatherings and limitations to travel and things along those lines, when we start to implement those things, we take the severity of this situation where in a situation where we aren't limiting those things, we see the number of cases and the number of deaths and the number of hospitalizations increase exponentially to a point where it overwhelms our healthcare system, overwhelms a lot of our systems. And what we've seen is that when we implement these measures, we take that curve down to not be as severe. And if we implement them early enough, like we've done here in the state of Utah, we lower that curve enough to where our healthcare system is able to manage that. You know, they've got their baseline of where they can, what they can manage effectively. And when we lower that curve, as the cases approach that curve, we're able to keep that under the level where the healthcare system can actually manage those severe cases. So a lot of these cases will be mild and moderate where they can be recovering at home, but there will be severe cases that will put a strain on our healthcare system. And if we can implement these measures effectively, we keep that level low enough that their healthcare system can actually can manage those effectively and provide the care to those who need it the most.
Another question we hear a lot, and we're taking a lot of your time here, but is the two-week suspension period that we're getting. So everything's suspended for about 2 weeks. People wonder, is 2 weeks really going to do anything? Or are we just going to see rises in cases? And so as a result, it's just going to continue to kind of be a consistent every 2 weeks. We're just going to suspend things for two more weeks.
I think we are going to see a rise in cases. My feeling is that at the end of this 2 weeks, we're going to see a continuation of these, if not an implementation of additional measures. I think the 2 weeks time frame was just so we had to kind of a benchmark to look at and propose and say, okay, here's where we're going to look at this for the next 2 weeks. And as we evaluate it over that 2 weeks, we'll see if the measures are working, if we need to implement more things, or if we're okay with the measures as they are. I think it's just kind of an idea for people to say, let's evaluate this every couple of weeks, and then we'll go forward from there. I don't see those measures changing. I don't see school necessarily being back in place in a couple of weeks. It could be. I don't know. That's not really our decision. That's the governor's decision on whether or not he wants to keep those in place or reduce those. But I think they will stay in place for longer than that.
All right. Very good. Once again, Nate Saline with us here from the Central Utah Public Health Department. If you've just caught parts of this interview or wanted to go back and hear more, we'll have it up on our website at madeutahradio.com under the news tab, under news and community interviews. We'll have it there for you so you can find it. Nate, as always, we do appreciate you taking the time to join us. And we'll
absolutely
look forward to hopefully getting this behind us at some point.
We look forward to that.
Yes. All right. There you go. There's our radio roundup interview for today. Again, you are listening to Morning Talk here on KSVC 980 AM and 100.5 FM.